So it's a great pleasure now to introduce Dale to you. And as Dale comes, I'm sure you're going to be blessed. So let's give him a great warm Marubna welcome.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you. Good morning. Let me pray first, because sometimes, believe it or not, I've been speaking in front of congregations and at various events for so many years, but I still get nervous. And I think sometimes I'll sit down afterwards and I'll say, and I think, I forgot to pray. And then panic sets in. So I'm going to pray now. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, it's just a privilege to be here. And it's just wonderful being in your house today, Lord. And I just pray that you bless what you've put on my heart. Lord, just give me clarity of thought and guide me. And I pray your blessing on this place in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. And as Matt said, my name's Dale Stagg. I'm the CEO of Reach Beyond, which used to be called HCJB some years ago. Some people remember it more as the phrase Heralding Christ Jesus' Blessings, or the high cost of jelly beans. But HCJB was always a call sign for our radio set up in Ecuador in Latin America. So we were established as a ministry in 1931 as the first Christian radio station, way back when, in Ecuador. And I'm just going to set myself up here because I feel for you, Ron. And by the way, Matt, I mean, have you got all the talent up here in Shepherd and you've been hiding it? Like, man, you've got some talent, I can tell you. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what am I going to add to this after Ron and the band? And wow, that's pretty incredible. But I appreciate what Ron was saying about technology, because I've got a new tablet and I had a bad techno day yesterday trying to get myself organised. And I was thinking, I was at the Doncaster Shopping Town a while back in Melbourne, and they've got one of those great big Apple stores. And I was just thinking yesterday, you know, if Jesus walked past that store, would he run in and start tipping up the tables? Because we sometimes get so frustrated with technology. I'm going to just start by reading from Luke 15, one of my favourite stories or parables, the parable of the lost son. But I'm just going to get myself organised first, if I can find my... So this is what technology does. There it is. It's opening. Yes. Now I've got my I've brought my techno aide Patrick up there in the in the booth, and look at that. See, it's working so well. I didn't even have to ask him to do that. And interestingly, you're the first group of people to see our new logo. So we've gone through a name change about 5 years ago from HCJB to Reach Beyond, and now globally we're embarking on a new branding of our ministry, which is just to signify our, I suppose, a commitment, our passion to reaching the lost, to reaching the unreached with the gospel. Any designers in the room at all? Any graphic designers? Any people into design? Because one of the words in this design is grunge, and which I can't remember the full name of it, but there's a name for that that style of logo, and it looks pretty fresh. I was up in some of you certainly know that we have a shortwave facility up in Kununurra, which I'll be talking about. And one of our guys up there, we had to hurriedly put some signs up at our property because we've been doing some videoing. We had a film crew up there a few weeks ago because I wanted to develop some new promo videos. And one of the other guys went out, got the new signs made for me, and he put the sign up at the front. And I said, Mark, what do you reckon about the new sign? And he said, well, it's sort of different, isn't it? And I said, yeah, why is it different? And he said, well, it's sort of like, it's more modern. So what makes it modern? And because it's one of my questions, you know, as you explore design. He said, well, I don't know, it just looks more modern. And I thought, well, that's good. We don't understand why it looks modern, but we wanted to make it a little bit more modern. Let's read from Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. And Before I do that too, I love the themes that have emerged already today around God's love for us. That is very much part of what I'm wanting to emphasize today, that God loves us quite simply, that his love is unceasing and never ending. The first song that you sang, what was that? Can you remember that one about the city, you know? And I'm thinking that tied in really nicely because it's about the city, and it's about beyond the city and the world and people groups and tribes and every tongue and every nation coming before God. So lots of great themes already been introduced today that I think tie in nicely. But let me read. The parable of the lost son, Luke 15 from verse 11 onward. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found.'" Just a couple of things that really jump out at me about this story. This is so rich, this story. And as we dig into it, there's one element or one or two elements I'd like to unpack a bit. If you could imagine, perhaps even imagine someone in this church today or someone you know really well. Matt's probably not a good example. He looks pretty fit to me. But someone that may be unlikely in the sense of what I'm going to share here. There's a portion in here that says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled for compassion with him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him." And if you dig into that part of this passage, the father is well regarded in this community. Okay, he's wearing his sandals and his robes. He probably conducts himself in a very maybe conservative manner. But as you look deeper into this, you see a father that sees the son from a long way off. And the way I take this for me personally is that this is God the Father seeing us. He's always searching, looking for the lost to bring them to him. He sees the son from a long way off, well before the son saw him, and he takes off. He takes off down that road. He lifts up the robes and he might have even kicked off his sandals, but he takes off. He doesn't care what everyone thinks he looks like, because I know maybe that'd be me. If I was running, I'd probably try and run well. you know, so that it wasn't embarrassing. But this father just took off because he could see the son, flat out, didn't care what people thought. That's the sort of love, that overwhelming love that the father pursues us with. And when he got to see him, again, if you look deeper into this passage, the father literally throws himself upon the son, just slumps over the son and embraces him and kisses him, showers him with kisses. That's, if you could imagine that just for a little, that this is the sort of love, the depth of love that the father pursues us with. And it's hard to comprehend, I think, the depth of his love. And he goes on, the son has this speech prepared. You know, he's got it all worked out. This is what I'm going to say to the father when I get back. You know, I've squandered everything. You know, I've stuffed up, you know. And he's got this speech prepared. But what I see there is he starts the speech, but he doesn't get it finished. You know, the father says, shh, you know, you're home. That's all I care about. Shh, that can wait for later. And I find that incredibly meaningful as well. The one thing that I don't want to be in this story is the older brother. The older brother that didn't get it. He didn't get it. He was the one with rules and regulations, and he wanted it all to sort of pan out in his favour because the other son didn't deserve what was being given back to him. And my prayer is that please don't let me be the older brother. Please don't let me be the older brother. It's interesting from a sense of mission, because that's part of what I'm here to share with you about is your support for us as a mission, which we are incredibly grateful for, and to tell you a bit more about our mission that is Reach Beyond. I was in a conversation the other day with a guy from another denomination, which shall remain nameless. But I quickly somehow ended up in this debate about whether reaching out to people with the gospel, of getting out in the mission field, should actually be conducted by the church or parachurch organisations. And I'm thinking, hang on, I wasn't trying to get into this argument or debate, but we got into this theological talk fest about whether it was the church, like this church, doing mission, going overseas or serving in some way to reach out to people with the gospel, or whether it should be, or whether a parachurch organisation like us has the right to do that. And it was starting to get like the older brother. I was thinking, am I really hearing this argument? What, is it that difficult? That clearly we have a commission that we need to get out there and reach people with the gospel, which reach people with God's love. I want to jump to Romans chapter 8. Just one short passage here. Romans 8 verse 39, where it says, neither height nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm working out of the NIV Bible, and I was looking at some of the notes, and the thing that caught my eye here was the simple statement that says, it is impossible to escape the love of our Saviour. It is impossible to escape that love. We can run, we can try and hide, but it's impossible to escape the love of the Saviour. And that's what I love about my job, that God is using us to reach out to people with his love, to tell them about his love. At the end of the day, Reach Beyond's vision is to see Jesus known and loved among all people. That's it in a nutshell. So our mission is to, from an organisational point of view, to facilitate a partner-driven movement to see every unreached people group of 100,000 or more people, that's groups of 100,000 or more, to have ready access to the gospel. And what I would say is that God is using us, Reach Beyond, and Life Church here, to facilitate that. And through our relationship with you, your support to us is very appreciated and very important. And our desire is to deepen that relationship with you and other churches. And it's I'm thrilled to know that Ron and Rosalie have been involved with Reach Beyond for quite a while, and Gary and Sue Baker have been up, and Ian and Bev are very well aware of us and know where we are in Pax Center Road up in Kununurra. My American mates have great difficulty in pronouncing that. Often it comes out Kununurra, but it's actually Kununurra. And so it's really, we really appreciate the relationship we have with you. But we're not just an Aussie outfit, you know. We are a global outfit, worldwide. As I said, we have our origin in out of Ecuador in 1931, where we established a Christian radio station. And our key role at the moment is maintaining an effective shortwave radio service to the Asia Pacific region, while we also support other elements of our global vision and mission. And as I mentioned earlier, we just had a film crew up in Kununurra just recently, and I might get Patrick to see if we can trigger that one of the movies from Pineapple Media that gives you a bit of an idea of what Reach Beyond looks like up in Kununurra. Let's see how we go with that, Patrick. No, Patrick's pretty spot on, isn't he? He's sharp up there. Thanks for that. So I said to the film crew, I said, you've got to get me something. You know, I'm going up to Marupna soon, and that's very raw, but it gives you a bit of an idea of what you're supporting. There were some great shots of the antennas. We were fortunate that my board chair flies drones, and we just happened to have a sea eagle nesting on top of one of the towers. And so that he didn't like the drone coming too close, so he took off after the drone. So I'm really excited to see what else will emerge. But we have 7 antennas up there and 3 transmitters, and that was very hard to get the detail of the antennas, but I was rapt to see that footage. So our key strategy is implementing this vision and mission by being the voice and the hands of Jesus together. So we're not just media. So certainly Australia is invested in shortwave, and shortwave is a very old media but still seems to be so current, and uses the ionosphere to bounce its signal off the ionosphere for many thousands of kilometres. And whilst it's a very old media, the shortwave frequencies are very, very crowded, with a lot of people still using them. It's very effective in reaching hard-to-reach places. So we are not just voice, though, as an organisation. We're also the hands of Jesus, and we do that together in partnership. So we see certainly you are working with us through your support and your prayers, and we work with numerous other organisations as well. Because we believe that the most effective we can be is through partnership. We can't do it on our own. It's just not going to work if we want to fulfil this vision and mission of reaching the many, many unreached people groups around the world. I'd like to put it another way. We go beyond borders, so we reach into hard-to-reach places. We go beyond words because we're more than media, we're healthcare, community development, and I'll talk more about that shortly. And we go beyond ourselves, and that's the partnership. Relationship is everything, and I'm really blessed that we have really productive relationships with a number of organisations. We can't do it on our own. Let me share you a few stories to show how God is reaching people through Reach Beyond. And apart from broadcasting from Kununurra, we also support one of our key partners in India with the production of a devotional, a printed devotional. Does anyone here know Bernie Dimit from Christianity Works? Has anyone heard some of his stuff? Yeah, a few of you. So Bernie is the CEO of Christianity Works and produces a devotional called Fresh in English, and we've translated that into Tamil in India, and getting some great responses of that as that devotion is spread throughout India. And here are some of the responses to the devotional and to our radio broadcasting to India. Currently we're broadcasting in around 18 different Indian languages. And this pastor writes from India, "I am Reverend Vincent, serving as a pastor in a particular church, an Anglican church, for 41 years. I am now retired and I am 65 years old. I'm not very well now. Now, I always wanted to write to you about your devotional, and in this particular tongue, it's called Puthum Putitu. I am receiving your devotional regularly. The words are very touching and I am blessed by reading it. I myself am an editor and writer of a small magazine, but when I read your devotional, it is really wonderful. I really feel somewhat happy in my spirit. I'm also praying for your ministry." So one thing that strikes me about countries like India is they lack resources. So when we're able to help by providing these resources, it's benefiting the pastors in India as well. Some radio responses from our Tamil broadcasting, all the way from Kununurra out to India. "Dear sir, thank you for your program. I used to listen to cinema songs." So people love listening to music in countries like India. "The other day I was browsing the radio station to listen to English songs. I wanted to hear a different song and I was in great pain that day until I heard your voice saying, 'Fear not, God is with you and he will heal your pain.' It really changed my life. It was not your word, sir. It was like God himself speaking to me. I started loving Jesus from that day. I can't pray in my house and I can't even listen to your program. People in my house are against Christianity. Please send me your programs. Are you on YouTube? Can I listen to your songs through YouTube? Can I listen to your sermons on YouTube? Please help me." So we're talking about a country that is very divided. And the percentage of Christianity, evangelical Christianity in India, is less than 2% in a country of 1.3 billion people. So it's hard to get that in perspective. 1.3 billion people live in India. Australia just clocked over, what, around 24 million? And so a country divided, a country that has very little Christianity in there and many, many households that are divided, that if you even try to have a Bible in your house, or you even, you know, God forbid, convert to Christianity, then you are potentially suffering some pretty significant persecution. This person says, "Dear sir, I am from a Hindu family. A Christian sister introduced the program to us and I am listening to it only once a week as I get a chance to go to my friend's house once a week. My mother won't allow me to accept Christ. I am sure that I want to follow Christ. Could you send some recorded programs so that I could hear while travelling on the bus?" So, good example. This person's in a house that is very anti-Christian, is Hindu, and it's not something that is easy to actually believe in Christ. I want to explain a little bit about as to why I became involved with Reach Beyond, and it's precisely because of stories like this, of hearing those listener testimonies sharing how God is reaching into their lives. It might seem a little strange to you that over 30 years ago, I was a police detective in Victoria. That was my first career. I was a plod, a copper. And that's, yeah, it's scary to think that it was over 30 years ago. And to cut a long story short, I left the police force and moved interstate, where God got my attention It was a pretty significant tap on the shoulder that said, well, sunshine, which side of the fence do you want to be on? My side or the other side? I was very good at having one foot either side of the fence. And this big burly guy came to town called Tim Hall. Some of you may have heard of him. I've lost track of Tim, what he's up to now, but at that time he barreled into town preaching the word, and God used him to give me a bit of a shake-up and never look back. But certainly the challenge was there. This and you know, you've got to appreciate that for an ex-copper, that as my wife would often say back then, I was void of feeling, because you just had to be, really. You know, that was the environment we worked in. You know, you had to be pretty protective of your own environment, your own skin. But suffice to say, from that moment on, my life started to change. Probably in some areas it's taken a while to change, but certainly God tapped me on the shoulder. And after some years at Bible college, I joined an organization called Focus on the Family and spent the next 11 years with them. And then after that, the opportunity came to work for Reach Beyond, whose focus is on reaching the least reached, reaching the unreached people groups around the world with the gospel. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going through a time of resetting our vision and our mission. And I suppose what the change that's happened to me in my life is that, sure, when I joined the police force, it was about making a difference, you know, leaving a legacy. Maybe there was things that I could change, but I suppose it wasn't always that easy in that environment. And then moving to somewhere where you could see Christ work with Focus on the Family, wanting to see families' lives impacted with the Christian message, to see marriages saved, to see parents helped, was an opportunity to make a difference. But then I suppose the next step up was when this opportunity came to work with Reach Beyond. It was about reaching people with the gospel, which I suppose in a way was the ultimate, in that, you know, to see Jesus enter people's lives is to see real change. And so it was a really humbling opportunity to be able to join an organisation like Reach Beyond. So I suppose in my early career in the coppers, it was sort of missing that connection to change lives, to see how people's lives could be changed and impacted by hearing the good news of Christ. If I think back over my career in the police force, you know, you saw the worst of the worst often. The lowest of the low. I saw some pretty nasty stuff. And sure, in the midst of that, there was some satisfying moments, but sometimes you had difficulty seeing your ability to actually affect real change. And so I suppose that's the contrast in now having Christ in my life and seeing how Christ can change people's lives. There is a vast difference. I suppose my claim to fame was... there'll be a number of you old enough to remember, but do you remember the Russell Street bombing years ago? How many remember the Russell Street bombing? Oh, a lot of people. Well, I was 50 yards from the bomb when it went off. That's sort of my part of history in Victoria. It was the biggest bang I've ever heard in my life. I was doing detective training school at the time. I was on the second floor of Russell Street Police headquarters, and the bomb car was just down below us. And they tried to get it in under the building and couldn't, and set it off about 50 yards from where I was sitting. So thankfully, I was sitting against an external window. It was double glazed, and when it went off, the exterior glazing shattered. The lights all fell off the roof of the building. We thought we'd been bombed by Libya or something, because America had just bombed Libya the day before. This is the mid-80s. So it was an incredible experience. And, of course, it was in the days where none of us had... we weren't all walking around with these mobile phones, and we weren't all having these immediate news breaks or anything like that. So we all sort of had to evacuate the building, and I jumped on the phone and rang Cheryl and sort of said, just want to let you know I'm all right. Yeah, so why are you ringing me? What do you mean you're all right? And then I'm because, you know, it wasn't that immediate news time. You know, no mobile phones. News didn't get out quick, so Cheryl had no idea what had happened. And but I was all right, and it was a pretty nasty event. But I'll tell you a funny story as well, just to put a ribbon on that, because there was a lot of funny moments when I was in the police force. And I would say that, you know, when you see a police car, there might be coppers in the room here, so things might have changed a bit, but when you see a police car racing down the road with the lights and bells on, you know, you've got these police behind the wheel and they're looking very serious, and half the time it was a ball. We were having a ball with those lights and sirens on. We were just waiting for an excuse. Can we put the lights and bells on now? Can we? Because that was a bit of fun, you know, driving the police car with the lights and siren on. But I remember one night we were out in patrol. I spent a lot of years in the northern suburbs of Melbourne around the reservoir area, and she was pretty rough. And I used to love parking the police car with the lights off in the side streets just to listen at night shift to see, because it's amazing how much you could listen going on around and hear what's going on around you. So we hear this car flying up one of the roads, and we thought, hello, we got something going on at the moment. So we wait, and this car goes flying past, and just before they did that, we whacked the headlights on and the high beam on to catch the car in our headlights, and it was packed with 5-6 kids, and clearly a stolen car. I mean, it was no brainer, and it was like a slow-mo moment where their heads all sort of turned and realised that the police car was sitting in the side street, you know, and their mouths dropped open. And so we took off after them and caught the car, and it was like catching chickens, you know. Like, there's about 5 or 6 of them. They're all like knee-high to a grasshopper, and I've got 2 or 3, and my offside has got 2 or 3, and we're trying to manage these kids that we just caught in this stolen car, and you know, help was coming. But I remember saying to one of these kids, got him round behind the car, and so, mate, where did the car come from? And all of a sudden he gets this swagger, you know. He's only about 15 or 14. He goes, mate, what car? They taught them well when they were young. But that sort of sets the scene for how I came to be where I am now. And might I say, you know, I missed the police force for a lot of years, as my wife would attest, and had to get out of various habits that I had acquired during my time in the police force. So the opportunity with Reach Beyond seemed quite different, but in a way it's not really different, because what we're about is we're moving in dark places with the gospel. We're reaching beyond borders where the gospel is very difficult to get the gospel into, where we're working in places where the gospel's not easily heard. So in a very real sense, we're seeking to move people to a position, from a position of darkness to a position of light, and the light being the gospel. So a little bit more detail of what we're up to. So let me come back to Kununurra and Kilsyth, where our offices are. We're broadcasting in 30 languages from our shortwave facility up in Kununurra through those antennas, which are massive. Our tallest tower, I think, is around 127 metres, and the antennas are strung between the towers. We also support partners through FM radio. So our India partners, Dolly and Christopher out of Delhi, they broadcast of a Saturday night on FM radio in Delhi. And to sort of get this in perspective as well, it's like being on the ABC of a Saturday night in Delhi. And we know that their listenership to that program is around 22 million people for one program on a Saturday night, nearly the population of Australia. It's just ridiculous. We also support them on, would you believe, they have Easter television programs and Christmas television programs that are very overtly Christian on a Hindu channel each Christmas and Easter. And it's where India is a country of contradictions, where it's not a Christian country, and in fact the government wants to move it more towards a Hindu country, but yet on the other hand we can have programs like this on a Hindu channel each Christmas and India. And that one reason is because the people of India are searching. They are searching. We get hundreds and hundreds of responses from countries like India wanting to know about this Jesus because they're looking for hope. A couple more stories. This is from a place called Orissa in India. Sir, your program is helping us here so much because we don't have a church in our area. In a long distance we have one, but they burnt the church and they beat up the pastor. Now there is no one there. Please pray for us to stay strong in these situations. This is just a very normal occurrence in India that we need to be praying for and mindful of. And again, though, this is where Reach Beyond is able to reach into that place with radio. I love this story from Sam, Pastor Sam, one of our partners in Bangalore, who works in his community. And he told me this: we received an invitation from a community of fishermen on the coast of Tamil Nadu who had been listening to our shortwave programs. I know that we're all familiar with the phrase fishers of men. I ended up meeting these people on the seashore, and when I started sharing the word of God with them, they said, this is not the right place for you to share the word, because they were fearful of persecution, but we are interested to hear more about Jesus. So they took us in their fishing boat, and we started moving out into the sea, and we shared the word of God with the people seated in the boat. This was an incredibly meaningful experience and helps us to understand in a very real way what it means to be fishers of men. I praise God for that experience. In the days to come, we are looking forward to more people getting in the boat. And one of my favourite stories, I mean, even Sam, Pastor Sam, as an Indian, he was blown away by this, to think that, wow, you know, 2,000 years later, we're in the boat preaching the gospel. Amazing. I want to come to, I've talked a little bit about shortwave and our radio or media ministry, but as I said earlier, we are much more than that, and from a global point of view, we are seeking to really grow and expand our impact. And you'd be familiar with what's going on with the Rohingya people from Myanmar who have had to flee persecution and are now located in Bangladesh. And we are working there, rotating medical teams in and out of that camp. The camp has around 800,000 people in it in Bangladesh. And at last count, our team were telling us that there are around 90,000 pregnant women in that camp. There are some good things happening in the camp in the sense that people are fed, people are reasonably clothed, and it's well organised. The Bangladeshi military are doing a very good job, but there's still some very underreached areas or underserved parts of the camp. So remembering that the Rohingya are Muslim, and we'd been praying that God would open doors to this group of people, this people group, God would somehow open a door to enable us to share the love of God. And he is doing that through our ability to run a medical clinic through the camp where we're providing a maternal health response and general medical. So, Patrick, would you see if you can run those two videos from the Rohingya file, please? And this is footage we took from the camp. Thanks, Patrick. So that gives you, I wanted to try and show a little bit more vision, but that was where I had some glitches technologically yesterday. But we're there. You know, God is in that camp using Reach Beyond, and I'm sure other organisations as well. But we've found an opportunity for that that clinic in an underserved part of the camp. The other area that we are working with and that's really developing as a key plank of our ministry is Myanmar. I mean, so the Rohingya have come from Myanmar, but we're also working to develop our radio ministry to Myanmar as well, because in Myanmar, or Burma, as it's also known, you can't establish Christian radio in Burma. There is radio stations in Burma or Myanmar, but you can't overtly establish a Christian station. So we've developed partnerships with a number of organisations, including an AOG organisation in Sweden called IBRA, and working very closely with them to expand our reach through radio into particularly the Burmese language, the Burmese people. And we're really excited about that, and that's something that we're already broadcasting into Myanmar, but we're wanting to expand that reach. And there are some photos there, but that I was going to show you, but we're running out of time a bit. Just to I want to close by just sharing how God is moving in people's lives in these countries. People are hungry for a message that will genuinely change their lives. I've talked to you about India. Everyone around the world is no different to you or me. We're all looking for something that's going to fill that void in our lives. We know there's something bigger than ourselves. And this does not change no matter what country you are from. But if I focus on India, people are hungry for a message that will change their lives. People are wanting all of life advice as well. And a major theme is that people have lost hope or are looking for something that can give them hope. They've heard a voice on radio, which has been coming from Reach Beyond. Or they might have heard it through a Christian doctor or a nurse saying there is more to life. And Jesus is saying to these people, your life is not over, it's just beginning. And that's what excites me about the work of Reach Beyond. So I want to thank you again, Matt, for the invitation. Thank you for your support. And it's a pleasure to be able to join with you as we collaborative reach out to the unreached throughout the world. Matt, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Dale, and it's just a privilege that we have to support and partner with these guys and know that we're not just about the space where we live, that we can affect people groups and countries far beyond where we may never even go. So that's an exciting thing for me. So as we finish off today, I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and we're going to just take up a love offering for Dale. So if you would like to contribute to that as the bags are going round, that would be terrific. And as we sing this song and close, you know, there's a great morning tea and fellowship and everything going to happen out there in just a couple of minutes. But I want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. And if you're here today and you're searching and you haven't maybe made that commitment or have a full of understanding of that, we would love to pray with you. And if you have any other prayer needs, please feel free. The front is open. We'll pray with you as we're singing this last song. And also, if you want to know more about Reach Beyond, or please catch up with Dale, with Cheryl, out in the foyer after the service. Okay, let's all stand. Thanks, guys.